The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
WTAQ News. Talk. Sports. There are a couple of major Green Bay stories, both involving, to one extent or another, city government, that should be coming to a head in the next day or two. And I want to cover both of them in just a bit. Oh, Jason, you know what? I need you to go to the Green Bay City Council webpage because we're going to need some phone numbers because I left a sheet of paper in my office. If you just Google Green Bay City Council, you know where it is. And you probably know this, but we want Netting and Danziger's phone numbers. So those two aldermen will be getting to that in just a moment. And the latest on another Green Bay story. First, I want to tell you about something, and this is really a bummer for me. Because I was invited to be part of this, and it seems like whenever I schedule a vacation week, there's something cool that I could be part of, and then I'm not here. Now, my family and I are really looking forward to vacation. We're actually doing a Minnesota vacation. We're doing the Twin Cities first half of next week, and then Duluth, to which I travel for work-related purposes from time to time. And I've told my family, you know, it'd be great to spend a couple of days there. So we're doing the Minnesota thing. We're doing that next week, which means I'm not here Monday. I was invited to MC an event that I definitely want you to take in my absence. The Brown County Republican Party is holding a Meet the Ticket 2014 event. And it might be a bit of an overstatement to say it's star-studded, but just a bit of an overstatement. Some of the candidates who will be attending, Governor Walker, Reid Ribble, AG candidate Brad Schimmel, RPW Chairman Brad Courtney is also going to be there, and then just a number of candidates and elected officials. That is Monday at the Ravine Pub and Grill, 2633 Manitowoc Road. That's a week from today, by the way. A week from today. 6:30 to 8 p.m. I'm going to say this again. Monday, July 21st, so nobody accuses me of saying it was tonight. Monday, July 21st, the Ravine Pub and Grill, 2633 Manitowoc Road, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Confirmed speakers include Governor Walker, Representative Reid Ribble, AG candidate Brad Schimmel, RPW Chairman Brad Courtney, and then a whole lot of local representatives and candidates for public office. And I truly regret that I first appreciate the invite from the Brown County Republican Party and their chairman, Mark Becker, to MC it. I could not make it work because I'll be out of town, but you should not miss it. Monday the 21st, 6:30 to 8 p.m., the Ravine Pub and Grill, 2633 Manitowoc Road. Huge, huge election year. So this is a great opportunity for conservatives to get out and meet the candidates. All right. One more thing. I had an interesting lunch. I had lunch with a coworker on Friday. That reminds me, Jason, you're another coworker I need to have lunch with. I know it wasn't you. I was going to tell them it wasn't you. It may still not be you if you don't knock that off. We do need to get that in. And not all people who work in this building have the opportunity, or quite frankly, the inclination to listen to this show all that much. But she has a friend who's apparently a very, very, very loyal listener. When he found out she was having lunch with me, he's like, can I come along? Jason can't even get lunch with me. No. So she's like, maybe next time. However, I'm told it's most likely that Eric is listening in the body shop at which he works right now. So, Eric, thanks a lot for being out there. Thanks for listening. Sorry lunch didn't work out. But I do appreciate how much you enjoy the show. Do appreciate that. All right, which one should we begin with here? We're going to spend more time on the Walmart one. So I will start with the news. There are actually two newsy things about the story of Green Bay police officer Derek Wicklin. You most likely know the name. He is the officer captured in a viral YouTube video using what many believe is excessive force in the arrest downtown around bar time earlier this year. The Green Bay Police Department did its review of that arrest. The Green Bay Press Gazette has been reporting that that review is going to show that he didn't do anything wrong. The State Department of Justice has been reviewing the review, has been reviewing the investigation, I should say. Their report, finding, summary, whatever they were going to issue on what the Green Bay Police Department did is expected today or tomorrow. In the meantime, the Press Gazette yesterday, their Doug Schneider, reported that Wicklin was investigated by the police department after marijuana and a shotgun not owned by the department were found in his locker in 2012. I'm not sure why they mentioned the shotgun, because the shotgun doesn't violate anything at all. However, the marijuana is another matter. Also, Wicklin was investigated for breaking into the department's locked evidence room in 2012, according to records obtained by Press Gazette Media through an open records law request. Wicklin joined the department in 2002. The supervisor who filed the complaint about the marijuana in Wicklin's locker in 2012 called its discovery very suspicious. In the marijuana incident, officials rated his handling of the incident as substandard, but he was not otherwise disciplined. He was not disciplined for the evidence room incident. Then they talk about what's going on with the current thing. Internal complaints accuse Wicklin of unbecoming conduct for failing to follow rules governing property and evidence. Internal Affairs 2 years ago expected to find a padlock when they opened Wicklin's locker on April 30th, 2012. Contractors were working in the room and department officials had ordered officers lock up their possessions. Instead, they found a medium-sized bag of marijuana. He also found a shotgun, but there's really not a problem with that. Bag of marijuana, which had an evidence tag from a five-year-old case, was labeled dog training. Wicklin was not part of the canine program. It was very suspicious. In an interview, Wicklin said Officer Matt Lynch gave him the drugs to help train Lynch's police dog. Wicklin acknowledged that people might think it was suspicious that he had marijuana. Wicklin emphasized he did not have any intent of breaking policy, and his actions were in good faith. Then in January 2009, Wicklin was accused of improperly entering the locked room where the department keeps money, drugs, and other evidence entered in criminal cases. It happened when he tried to recover a GURP stick. Apparently that's like a thumb drive that they use, which officers used at the time to store information about their cases. He said he accidentally dropped the device into the slot where officers submit evidence, tried to recover it using a coat hanger, then entered the room by manipulating hinges on a door. Okay. Lightning does strike around this guy a lot. And I'm going to be honest, both of these things sound rather suspicious to me. Further, that nothing more serious happened to him for either one of these, particularly the second event after you had the first event, is surprising to me. Does that have direct bearing on the matter at hand? Yes and no. I've said previously, the more we learn about Wicklund, and clearly the police department, Press Gazette rather, has been tipped off to a number of things. They have a source that's telling them, go look for this, go look for that. I said previously, he gives the appearance of a guy who lives very close to the line. In these two episodes, it's possible he crossed the line, and it doesn't appear that much was done. I mean, he broke into the evidence room. And it seems that this guy's very good at coming up with explanations, and the police department is very good at accepting them. Again, it has direct bearing on the current situation, only in that it does give us a peek into the way this guy operates. But in the next day or two, we'll find out what the state felt about the city's investigation into this. And while I'm always give the benefit of the doubt to law enforcement, the more we learn about his record, the more it does give me pause. It does. I mean, these episodes are troubling. But I mean, beyond giving some background, you know, some context to this guy, it doesn't have direct bearing. It is widely believed by those closely involved that tomorrow finally will end the Walmart saga in Green Bay. That City Council, in fact, will take a vote that will either allow the project to proceed or really be the final nail in the coffin for a proposed 154,000 square foot supercenter at the Larson Green property. Paper did a story yesterday suggesting the vote is too close to call. As to whether this will proceed or die, and then that property will sit idle while Mayor Jim Schmidt and his Broadway cronies pipe dream about what might be, and we bemoan what might have been, if they stop it in its tracks. Now, I have been telling you for some time, there are two critical votes here. Right now, those firmly on the record, it's 5-4 in favor. Unfortunately, a sixth vote is going to have to abstain Alderman Moore. And what we have reported, because I asked him and he answered, and no one else has reported this, that it involves his employment with Menards. He told me that on the record. I've reported it. No one has seen fit to re-report it. I asked him if it would deal with Menards providing supplies to a new store, and he wouldn't comment on any of that. But, I mean, that's not rumor. He told me that. Yet, interestingly, no one else in the media will just ask him that. It's very weird. Anyway, so there are two swing votes, Brian Danziger and David Nenig. If at least one of them doesn't vote for it, it's dead. The paper yesterday reported that Nenig has just made up his mind. He knows how he's going to vote, but he wouldn't let on, but said he looked at the long-term interest of downtown, I'm paraphrasing, in his decision. I can almost guarantee, and this is informed speculation, and I'll just leave it at that, I can almost guarantee that Nenning is now a no vote. I didn't guarantee, I said almost guarantee. It is very, very likely that he is a no vote. Brian Danziger is not tipping his hand at all. I've had him described as being cozy with the Broadway anti-Walmart crowd, so you might believe, and others have told me they didn't think Danziger would ever vote for it. I don't know that. But I'm going to give out both phone numbers, and again, the criteria would be if you own property in Green Bay, if you live in Green Bay, or if you work in Green Bay. You don't have to reside in their residence or in their district. But I'm going to urge you to call them. I'm going to do this a couple of times yet today and a couple of times tomorrow. Because, yeah, the future of downtown Green Bay does hinge on this, but probably not in the way opponents think. So I'm going to urge you to call both and, again, explain why you're for the store. Don't attack them or get after them in any way. David Nenning's phone number. Here you go. 437-2318. 437-2318. That's 437-2318. It's Alderman David Nenning. Again, just explain why you think that the Walmart store, if you do, is in the best interest of downtown Green Bay. If you live, work, or own property in Green Bay, then you're vested in this. And that you don't want to see this thing sit empty, which is going to happen for years. And whatever does come will come at great cost to the public. Brian Danziger, 609-7666. Brian Danziger's number, 609-7666. Alderman Brian Danziger, 609-7666. One more time for both. David Nenning, 437-2318. Brian Danziger, 609-7666. It is 8:56.
Your home for Milwaukee Brewer baseball.